Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey ladies, good afternoon. It's Monday. It's Polished Woman Day. Today we have a very, very special episode. I hope I won't cry for this episode. and I have two lovely, lovely guests today. This episode, we're doing an advanced episode for this one for Father's Day. Because I feel like it's very important to us to remember the people, the loved ones in our life. So in 2018, I lost an important man in my life, which is my father. My relationship with my father wasn't perfect, but it was exactly the relationship that that I needed to become the woman that I am today. And the stuff that he taught me about love, you know, about giving advice, accepting advice, accepting love, and to share it, it's because of my father. So that's why this show is important for me. So today, I invited two special, special women who, you know, who is celebrating Father's Day this year without a father. And they just lost their father. I have amazing Dr. Kathy, a motivational speaker and a personal coach on our show. Hello, Dr. Kathy.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And then an incredible woman. She is a holistic therapist, Chloe Panta. Hello, Chloe. Welcome on the show.
Thank you.
Okay. These two women, they made me cry while listening to their story. every time we talk of our father, it just, you know, it breaks my heart. You know, it's been 2 years, but it's still for me, we'll never have any time that we don't really think of them, right? So, okay, Dr. Kathy, I'll start with you. Can you tell me your story, you know, about your father, how you lost him, and how you're coping up with grief and everything?
Yeah, grief. I'm not a stranger to grief. I actually lost my mom when I was 18. I lost my favorite grandmother when I was 9. And because of the client base that I have, there are a lot of them are older. So it seems like I'm just in a constant state of yet another person has passed away. Yeah. Which in no way diminishes how horrible it was when I lost my dad last year. He had been sick for a long time. He was sort of a buffet of health options, pretty advanced type 2 diabetes, some heart issues, had a heart attack. To me, it was the last probably 6 years with him were bonus years. I can think about it that way because he had gone through so many health issues. He was hit by a car in a crosswalk. He got rear-ended by a drug dealer who then tried to hunt him down and kill him. So it's like all these opportunities that he could have left us, he didn't.
Yeah.
So to me, those last 6 years that I did have him were truly so special. So when he passed, I was literally in the car driving to Los Angeles to do a TEDx talk. And I found out in the car as I was going to basically perform that he had passed away. My reaction was not what I had thought it would be. It was actually kind of comical. But I had to get through getting on stage and doing a talk, knowing that somewhere compartmentalized, I had lost my dad.
That's crazy. How did you do that, right? You're really literally the show must go on.
Yeah. I called my boyfriend at the time and I told him what happened. And then I said, look, I can't go there yet. I have to put that in a box and I'll deal with it later. I called my ex-husband, who I'm still good friends with. And I said, my dad just died, but I can't talk about that. I have to put that in a box. And when I showed up to the talk, I said to the organizer, I said, so happy to meet you. Just so you know, and please don't tell anyone, I literally just found out my father passed away. Okay. So I am going to do my talk and then I'm going to go. I can't stay as much as I want to. But if you see me like rocking and crying in a corner, that's why. Don't say anything. I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. I'm just here to work. And then I got to go. And I literally did my talk. It was great. They cheered. I said, thank you very much. Walked off stage and lost it. Sobbing in just a pile of heaps. So the other speakers were like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then I had to deal with all the grief from there. So it was this compounded thing of I had to put it in a box and shove it away for like 3 hours. Yeah. And then had to deal with it later. So it's been such a roller coaster. And I know you and I talked on the phone before the show about that, things that strike you when you're not expecting it. And you know, it's been a little over a year.
Yeah, that's
still
a
hits,
good.
It still hits me occasionally.
Yeah, it's hard, right? But that's a good example, though, of the show must go on. Even if something, you know, tragic happened to you, you just have to do it for 3 hours. Oh my gosh, Dr. Kathy, can you imagine? Oh my God. And Chloe, yours is a little bit fresh.
Yeah.
Can you, you know, tell everyone about your story?
Yeah. So my father actually died last month. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very fresh. And I was out of the country last November until January of this year. And mm-hmm. my father was, he was going through some issues, but he was very private. So whatever issues he had, I never could pry them out of him. I live in LA. He lives all the way across the country. So we only saw each other a few times a year. And I said, hey, I'm going out the country, Dad. I'll see you when I get back. We'll catch up. He's like, okay, yeah, I'll talk to you when I get back, when you get back. So I go out the country. I come back in January. Mm-hmm. And my dad is, he's calling me. And he's like, you know, I'm not doing so well. He's like, I need you to come to Michigan. I need you to come and help me out. And, you know, me and my dad were very close, but I always held a grudge against my father, and I've held a grudge against him for a very long time because he did things that I didn't feel, he should have been doing. And because of that, my anger was just at that point, I just was very upset with my father. I had been gone for a long time. He didn't call me and say, hey, how was your trip? How are you? How are you doing? Welcome back. He called me and he poured his problems onto me. So I felt I didn't have a way to really let him know I had a good time. And I felt bad because I couldn't express that to him because he was having a hard time. So I felt like I wasn't able to fully extend my joy to my dad. I had to just kind of put that aside and listen to his problems and try to figure them out for him. And at that point, I was just fed up. I'm like, you know what? You're going to have to figure it out on your own. I'm not going to be able to come to Michigan. And that was that. So a few months had gone by. This was in March of this year. Mm-hmm. And his friend called me and said, you know, your dad is not doing well. And he's living in his car. You know, mm-hmm. I had no idea my dad was in that situation. And at this point, the coronavirus had just kind of peaked, and traveling to and from LAX or going out was just kind of non and void. And there was no way I was going to drive in a car from LA all the way to Michigan to take care of it. So I said, okay, well, I can send you some help, Richard, if you'd like, to his friend. And he's like, you know, I think he needs more than that right now. He's kind of been in and out of the hospitals and he wants to know what's going on. And I don't know how to help him. So my dad eventually decided to go back to Savannah, Georgia, where he's from. He's from Georgia. He went back there. Mm-hmm. This was in April. And he got off the bus and my aunts took him in. And literally he walked right into a hospital. And a month later, he passed away. And that was from, he had heart issues. His heart literally stopped.
Okay.
And the doctors tried to revive him 3 times. And they said, this is his last straw. Do you have any last words? And I just felt so guilty. I felt so bad because I had so much anger because he, you know, he passed away and I couldn't tell him, hey, I'm sorry. And I told the doctor to say, let him know that I love him. I told him that, and he took his last heartbeat and he passed away. And I have been keeping in so much anger in myself because I felt bad. I didn't go. I always replay the scenario. What if I went to Michigan? Would it have been different? What if I went there when I was able to go? Would I have been able to change something, or could he still have been here today? So those things are really heavy on my heart because I felt, even though I had so much anger towards my father. I feel that I possibly could have made it a better choice about yes. that. And that's something I can't take back. I can't go back in time and say, let's go back to January of this year. Let's make sure we go to Michigan and let's take care of my dad. I can't do that. So I always replay this scenario in my mind every day. What if I would have went back to Michigan to see my dad? Or would he still be here? So those are things I'm holding on to. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to call him on the phone. Mm-hmm. I can't text him anymore. I can't send him pictures of me. I can't say, hey, how's it going, Dad? Or what's going on? Because that's gone, you know? And yeah. I feel because I was just upset, mm-hmm. I won't be able to get another chance to say, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, or let's just get past this. Let's just move on. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Dr. Kathy, with Chloe's situation, you know, guilt is a very heavy thing to, you know, to have and to feel, especially if it's your father. And, you know, what do you think should, I mean, for people or ladies or women or people who are the same, you know, experiencing the same thing as Chloe's, what do you think should she do about this whole guilt and, you know, and just being, and for forgiveness? You have forgiven your father, right, Chloe? I mean,
yeah, I have. Yeah.
I think that's the number one thing that you should actually do, right? I mean, what do you think, Dr. Kathy? What's your advice?
Yeah, guilt is so tough because to have him pass away with you still having those emotions is difficult. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not even so much about the other person hearing us, it's just about us saying it. Uh-huh. So, you know, one exercise that they recommend people to do is just sit down and actually just spill it to your dad. You know, we don't understand what happens after we die. People have very divergent belief systems about what happens when someone passes away. But there's nothing to say that you can't get that out for yourself.
Yes.
So to just sit down, whether it's, I have had so many conversations with my dad in the car. That's where I do my talk. Thank God we have Bluetooth now. People just assume I'm on the phone. I'm sitting there babbling away to myself. But, you know, sit down in a room, put him in a chair, pull out a picture, you know, whatever's going to be most comfortable for you. Some people like to write a letter, give it to a friend and say, you know, I just need this to be out there. Or tell everything you want to say to a trusted friend and say, I just need this to be heard by another person. And sometimes that makes all the difference because, like you said, you can't undo it. You can't go back in time. And forgiving yourself and letting that guilt go in the time that it's going to take, I think is going to be better for your well-being and healing. Because hanging on to those negative emotions, they don't benefit us and they can just build up and just cause a whole nother set of problems.
Yeah, that's so true. I think, Chloe, you should forgive yourself for, you know, that instead of being, that's what I've, you know, I've experienced this as well. You know, by forgiving someone and losing someone, you know, I had someone that I was really mad. It's not my father, but he's like my second father. And I just, you know, thought of like, okay, you know what? I'll forgive you. And I think you haven't seen him. And if you have, I think you are planning to see him, right? To go to Michigan. Mm-hmm. Where he was buried, right?
No, he actually was buried in Savannah. So he's
in Savannah, okay.
Georgia. Yeah, so he's there. I do plan to go there when everything is up. I want to spend time, you know, to see my family and to see him.
Yeah, I think the best thing, this is, you know, just I pour out everything, like, you know, and just tell her everything. I cry, I just pour out all the anger, everything, you know. So I think that's when you'll need that. You will need that time with him, even if you know that he wasn't, you know, he's not alive, he's not there, you know, by going there. I think that would be a great, you know, thing for you. I think as some of my listeners and viewers know that my mother passed away as well. Like you, Dr. Kathy, my mother passed away when I was 13 years old. And so it was tough, you know. I mean, your anger of being, I'm still young. It's like you're 18 years old. I was 13. I'm still young. Why did you leave me, right? There's that anger. And I poured it out. And I think that will really help you, Chloe. So Dr. Kathy, you mentioned to me that you lost your father you lost, you had a divorce, mm-hmm. and then you lost your ex-boyfriend all at the same time in that year of 2019, yeah. or is it 2018?
Both. I left my husband in October, November of 2019.
Okay.
My 2018, sorry. My dad passed away in May of 2019. Uh-huh. The boyfriend and I split in July of 2019. Yeah. And then just a few months ago, my mother-in-law died. So it was just like boom, boom, boom of so many life changes. And I think the interesting thing about grief is cumulative.
Yes.
And so to end a 20-year relationship with my husband and then right on the tails of that, lose my father, mm-hmm. and then be in a new relationship that I thought, oh my gosh, I've never felt anything like this. This is amazing. And then to have that end very unexpectedly and kind of in a kind of crappy way. It was a lot. And I started to think, you know, like, why even grow close to somebody? Because they're just going to go. Like, why get attached to anything, whether it's the cat or the ring or the house so or true. The, you know. And it's, you know, Eckhart Tolle, I do a lot of studying with him, and he talks about that attachment to whether it's thought forms or physical things.
Yeah.
At some point that's going to change and go away. So it's about finding that fulfillment and that satisfaction in us without those, you know, those attachments of these temporary things. So it's been a lesson on that for me this year.
Yeah, that's tough, losing a lot of people in one year. Oh my gosh, how about you, Chloe? As this will be your first Father's Day without your father in your life, have you thought about how you're going to spend that day?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, I would love to, you know, just talk to him or just maybe look at some pictures and just kind of reminisce on the times that we did have that were really amazing. I'm grateful that he was at least able to attend my wedding. And he was able to see me off. And I was happy that at least I did get to see him when I was in Michigan last year. But probably just thinking about all the good times that we had, because there's really nothing else I can do. Just trying to keep him as close as I possibly can and to just stay, you know, content knowing that at least I had a father that was able to provide and take care of me and to be there for me when I needed him. And that we had majority of the time was great. And I have to be grateful for those times. And that's really all that I can do. There's nothing else I can do. When everything clears up, I do plan to go down to Savannah and to spend time with my aunts and to see my dad and his grave site. I wasn't able to go to the funeral. So I had to watch his funeral via FaceTime. And I wasn't able to go. So at least I'll be able to go and see him. I can, and at least he has a final resting place. So I know that he's always going to be in Savannah. He has a place there and I can just see him and spend time with him. And that's all I can do.
Yeah. Dr. Kathy, we talked about the stages of grieving, right? And some of them, well, you mentioned to me that some people don't really go through the stages of grieving. But I told Chloe, when I spoke to her, I said, Chloe, I think you're going to have to go through that stages of grieving. But sometimes it's not like, okay, you start with anger and then you start with, you know, it's not like that. It's gradually, but with me, it was different with me and, you know, as opposed to how my sister felt when, you know, my father passed away. Do you believe that every person will go through that stages of grieving, you know, because, you know, Chloe is just now starting. It's very fresh for her. Like, what can you advise her to, you know, to get rid of, like, if, for example, you'll go through anger. I went through that, Chloe. Oh my gosh. I literally have a bowl here. This bowl, I actually threw this on my husband's face. I don't know why. It was just mad. Like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he didn't really say anything bad, but it blocked me. It just gave me what do you call that, Max? I blacked out and then I just threw it. So I went through that, the first stage. So what do you think of that, Dr. Kathy?
You know, I love her work, who came with the five stages of grief. And I think, you know, I think it depends on how your relationship was.
Yeah.
Was it expected? Was it unexpected? How old you were? What kind of closeness you still had? I mean, I talked to my dad almost every day on the phone. So there are still days where I'm like, oh, I should tell my dad. Oh, crap. You know, we would call each other with the bad joke of the day. So anytime either of us heard a joke, and I have a mind for that, I memorize like every joke I ever heard. And a client of mine told me this great joke, and my first thought was, oh, I got to call my, you know, and I just have to believe, all right, wherever he is, he kind of heard it, or they have better jokes there. You know, the whole walking up to the pearly gates with St. Peter, hopefully he got to live that joke and then didn't just hear it. But, you know, I think it just, it goes in waves. It's like, there are still moments where I'm kind of in disbelief about it. There are still, I didn't really go through the anger part. But I think it cycles through. I don't think it's this start, go progressively through the stages, then end, then you're done grieving. But I think that the key is allowing those feelings to happen, because if we just stuff them, then they're going to come out somewhere. We're going to throw a bowl at her husband or, you know, whatever it is. So I think it's important to honor our feelings through that. And some of them might be tremendously unexpected. And if you have someone in your life, a spouse, a friend, a girlfriend, somebody that you can say, hey, I'm really feeling fill in the blank today, and having them just hold that space for you. So many times people want to fix grief. Oh, well, you should do that. You should do this. And you should do there's no formula for this. Everyone grieves differently.
Yeah.
And it's a surprising combination of feelings, things that you did not think you'd feel. And I find also like having little rituals around it. I grew up in the house that my dad lived in till he died. He was with his girlfriend, but he still had the house. The address was 812. Mm-hmm. And I found that after he passed, every time I looked at the clock, it was 812. My change was 812. There would be 8 minutes and 12 seconds left in the video. Like I kept seeing 812 everywhere. Some people have that 1111 thing.
Yeah.
So twice a day, I look to the clock and go, And I get to have that fond thought about my dad. So it's like sometimes just those little ritual. And who cares if it's true? Who cares if it's so actually true. A message from him? It gives me that comfort to think about him at least twice a day. So little things like that can make us feel better. I have pictures of him. I have some of his items around the house. Just as little reminders of, I had an amazing dad and I miss him like crazy.
I love that. I love that. I love that whole thing. My sister and I, it's the 333. When we said 333, when we see 333, I go, oh, that's that. That's that. Chloe, so I have a question here for you. What advice do you want to give women whose father are in the hospital now? Because, you know, you weren't there for your dad. You weren't, because of the whole virus thing, the quarantine, you weren't there for your dad in the funeral. What advice can you give them who are, you know, going through the same thing that you did?
I would say that you have to be strong. In time, it's their time. And I don't think that there is anything anyone can do to change something that already is set to be in motion. It's just nothing that we can do. You know, I've replayed the scenario in my head with my father so many times. If he only ate better, if he only took his medicine, if he only did this, if he only did that, he'd be here. But I can't wish upon a star if he doesn't take any action. He has to take action to make those changes become effective. So I would say if someone's in the hospital, encourage them to eat better, to be positive, to think happy thoughts, literally, to just remember the good times you've had with them, keep them in good spirits, keep yourself in good spirits, take good care of yourself, don't blame yourself. I would definitely say that you have to be strong in these times, and it's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel an emotion that you may not expect to feel at a certain time. It's okay for that, but just to stay resilient and to be strong. Because when my dad died, literally, I didn't know who to call or what to say because I didn't think it was real. And it took me a week. It took me a week to actually tell my friend, like, hey, my dad died. And she's like, he died today? I said, no, he died last Friday. A week from today, because I didn't want to believe it was real. And I thought he'd just call me up and say, oh, I'm out the hospital. I'm okay. I'm better now. But that didn't happen. And I think I was in a stage of denial. So I would just say to stay strong. And if something happens that is not in your favor, to know that it's best for them and they're in a better place where they have no pain. They don't have to worry about anything anymore. They're fine. They're going to be in a better situation. You have to stay strong and continue to live your life. the best way you can. That's what I would say. That's all you can do. That's all that you can do, you know?
Wow. That's amazing. So, okay, because it's Father's Day, mm-hmm. I want to play this beautiful song. I hope I won't cry when I hear this. This beautiful, she did Samantha Harvey. She did the cover of Dance with My Father. Her Instagram is at Sam Harvey UK. It's a very, very, very beautiful song. And I want to ask you, ladies, what are the most fondest moment and, you know, thing that you will never forget about your father. So Ranen, can we play the music from Samantha Harvey, Dance with My Father? Is Ronan there?
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Oh, when I and my mother would disagree, get my way, I would run from her to him. He made me laugh just to comfort me, then finally made me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door. I'd hear how my mom would cry for him. I'd pray for her even more than me. I'd pray for her even more than me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Samantha Harvey. I said I won't cry. I cried again. Okay. You know, I learned this from our guests, our previous guests, when we talked about grieving as well. She said that we have to say their name just to give, what is that, Max, again? Yeah, that they, you know, that they lived and that they're being acknowledged. Chloe, what is the name of your father?
His name is Isaac.
Isaac. How about you, Dr. Kathy?
Paul.
Paul. Isaac. Isaac, Paul, and Bobby. This show is for you. We love you. Okay. Okay. What are the funnest moments, Dr. Kathy, that you have with your father?
Oh, boy. Probably the jokes.
Oh, I love that.
He always had the best dirty joke. He wasn't, he couldn't talk about feelings. He couldn't, you know, he wasn't deep in that way, but he the first one to tell a bad dirty joke. And we were both huge Steeler fans because I grew up in Pittsburgh. He was in Pittsburgh. So anything with the Steelers in the street, every Steeler jersey, all this, you know. So it was sort of that stuff that he instilled in me of that competition and that sort of sports minded. His superpower was he could make friends with anybody. He was the nicest guy. And I kind of inherited that as well. Just that personality, just that always up for a laugh kind of guy.
That's good to remember that. How about you, Chloe?
For me, it had to be my dad coming to my wedding. So my dad is a very private person. He kind of kept to himself and I did the same thing. And we spoke on the phone every single day. He and my mother, they divorced when I was young, but they still remained friends. And he came to my wedding, which was really, really happy to me. I was just really happy that he was able to walk me down the aisle, and it made my day. And that was one of the best moments of my life, that my dad was there with me. So I have to say, my wedding, I was really happy that he was there. It was really special.
Oh, that's so okay. For me, that's a question. What about you, Jessica? Well, my father was the one who actually taught me about love, believe it or not. You know, like how we always say, oh, we find, you know, we say we find love from someone, a guy, a man that we, you know, the guy that we're dating. But he explained to me, I actually said this on my eulogy for him. He's like, you know, Gigi, he calls me Gigi. Gigi, you're the love that is in you, it's already inside you. It's like a gold that you see in the dirt and then you pick it up and then you clean that, you know, that gold, so that whatever impurities that you have or whatever anger, hatred, or, you know, stuff that you did from your past, when you clean it, it's all gone. And so now you are this beautiful, you know, vessel. that love in you, you should start giving it to other people. So this is why now I have the polished woman. Okay, one of our listeners, I have a tweet. As a listener says, she has no emotion about the death of her father. What advice can you give her, Dr.? I'll advise, but for you, Dr. Kathy, what do you think you should advise her, that she doesn't have any emotions? I wonder why.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I mean, that's a complicated thing. It's how long ago did it happen? What was your relationship like with him? Are you depressed? Because depression, if you've already had some depression or low-grade depression, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not like, you know, prescribing or diagnosing anything like that. But if, you know, depression tends to tamp down emotions anyway, stress can actually do that too. Sometimes people can be in shock. So I would say if it's a newer thing, the emotions might unfold. I guess the question would be, do you have emotions about anything? Do you tend to just sort of dull emotions down sort of in general? So it would be, you know, that would be a longer coaching session, but it would be, yeah, that's interesting. You know, there's so many facets to that.
Yeah. I was actually just telling, oh, wait, by the way, before I continue to anyone who just tune in, you are listening to the Polished Woman Show with Dr. Kathy and Chloe, and it's a Father's Day episode. So, Dr. Chloe, I was actually just telling you, I told you this when we spoke on the phone, that, and this is my advice to the one who tweeted us. I think you really have to grieve, to be able to, you know, I mean, if you block off that emotion, if you block it off by having another relationship or by keeping yourself busy, it will trigger you. I think somehow, Max, it might happen to me, right? Because I did the show after my father passed away, and I was so busy that it hit me. He passed away in April. I made myself busy. I blocked it off. I had, you know, like I would cry once in a while, but the grieving part really triggered like around December, right, Max? It was December. Yeah.
You didn't want to do the show anymore.
I didn't want to do the show. I had anxiety. I was going to the show and I was like, no, I can't do this. And I felt that people should really go through the process of grieving like right away. And if you don't numb yourself, Chloe, I think I've told you this. That's why if I, you know, if you need to go to Savannah, go to Savannah. And if you need to talk, you know, sometimes a friend of mine told me this when my father passed away as well, because her brother just passed away. He was like, sometimes, Jessica, I look like a fool going out of the, you know, staying outside. And I just talked to my brother. I talked to my brother. Why'd you leave me? You know, help our mom. You know, like she would talk to her brother. And I think, you know, I think that's a good way also of getting out whatever anger that you have or hurtful things that you have towards your father. And if this listener of us don't have any emotions, you know, towards, I think it's as what Dr. Kathy said, I think it really depends on how your relationship with your father, you know, was, right? What is that, Max? Chloe, what is the, okay, there's another question. What is the hardest thing that you're going through right now?
The hardest thing I'm going through right now is, I guess, replaying a series of events that have happened up until my dad died, and they're still unfolding in a way. So last July, my grandmother passed away, and I was extremely close to my grandmother. And the day she passed away was the day I was supposed to meet my dad's side of the family in Atlanta, Georgia. So my dad's side of the family, I've never met them in my life. They live in Georgia. My mother and father, they divorced when I was very young. And my mother's side of the family, basically, I've known them my entire life. But my father's side, I've never met them. So they had a family reunion last year in July, and I was supposed to go. My mother, myself, my brother, we were going to go down, and we were going to meet them for the first time, and I would get to know that side of my family. And my dad didn't want to go. He wasn't going to be there, and I couldn't convince him to come, but I wanted to see who they were. And I had this gut feeling. I can't explain it, but I just had a really bad feeling that that day in July just wasn't going to be a good day. And that was the day I was going to fly down to Atlanta. So I said, is something going to happen to me? Should I go? Maybe I shouldn't go. I'm really afraid. What's going to happen? So I got on the plane, went down to Atlanta. I was safe. Nothing happened. And then that night in the Airbnb, my mother, my brother, my nephew were all in the Airbnb. We're getting ready to go to bed. And my mom got a phone call. And all I remember her saying was, not responsive. And I just bawled. I just cried my eyes out because I knew what that meant. That feeling was basically what I interpreted as a warning sign that my grandmother was going to pass away. And she died that day. So we drove back to Michigan. There was no way we were going to go to this reunion at this point. I never saw my family on my dad's side. We just basically, we couldn't go. My brother and I drove, I think it was 12 hours straight all the way from Atlanta back to Michigan. Yeah. And we took care of my grandmother. We had to take care of her funeral arrangements. We did everything. And I was just numb because I was very close to her. And I moved across the country 3 years ago to California. And my grandmother she had dementia and she didn't remember things. And I felt like I was just kind of leaving at a time where I should have been there to take care of her, to be there with her in her last years. And she was gone. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I didn't get a chance to say, I love you, because she died when, you know, we weren't there. My mother was able to say goodbye. She left
I think it was a Wednesday. We were in Atlanta on Thursday. So she was able to say goodbye, but I wasn't. And I just felt that was taken away from me. And then you fast forward to, you know, this year, 1 year after my grandmother died, then my dad dies and I wasn't able to say goodbye to him. So I felt like I didn't have enough time to fully process my grandmother's death. And now my dad died. And then, you know, there's been a string of how do I stay strong for my mother, my brother? How do I be their rock, but also be strong enough for me to carry on and do what I have to do? I feel like I didn't have enough time to fully grieve because my mother needed me. I took care of everything for her. We had the funeral planned. We took care of all the arrangements for her. We did everything. And I wasn't able to have anyone take care of me. So I felt that during my grieving process, I had to be a rock for my family. Mm-hmm. But when I'm grieving for my dad, no one's a rock for me. So I'm kind of feeling like, whose shoulder can I cry on? And who can I really say, okay, I need you to be here for me. But then I don't want to feel like I'm in need. I feel guilty for being in need mm-hmm. of wanting to grieve. Because I feel like it's been over a month now. He died on May 1st. It's June the 8th. You should be over this by now. It's time to get back into the game. Mm-hmm. You're done. And I feel like I don't allow myself to fully grieve. And I feel bad for doing that. If that makes any sense. I don't know why, but I feel guilty for wanting to grieve my father, if that makes any sense.
No, you shouldn't feel guilty, right, Dr. Kathy? I mean, I think one thing that really will help you a lot, Chloe, is I think talking to someone who went through the same situation. Because I always tell my sister this. My husband didn't even want to talk to me. My boyfriend doesn't, you know. I said, you know what? They will not understand what you're feeling right now because they're not the one that lost their loved ones. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually really talk to someone that, you know, like us, like me, like Dr. Kathy, who have lost their father, because we will understand and we will let you cry because you need to cry. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, trust me, you will need to cry, right, Dr. Kathy? I mean, what do you think Chloe should do? I think she should also be in a group, right, or something?
Well, I mean, it's tough.
Because you lost the same, I mean, it's not like you lost them by death, but you lost loved ones as well, right, all at the same year, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's such an individual thing, and some people aren't criers. You know, I have clients that they haven't cried since the 1930s, you know, so it's such an individual thing. That just because there's not that release of tears doesn't mean there's not that release of emotion. Mm-hmm. And to dovetail on something that you said before, Chloe, and talking about you're not sure how to be there for your mom and your siblings, ask them. We don't know. We know what we might need sometimes. Sometimes we don't. We don't know what another person needs. So to just say to them, hey, I want to be there for you. I want to be strong for you. What does that look like for you? Because maybe you said you had a brother. Was it a brother?
Yeah.
Maybe your brother wants a phone call once a week. Maybe your mom wants a video chat. Maybe she wants a letter, maybe a card, maybe it's flat. You know, we don't really know what the other person needs. So I have found for myself, rather than assuming I know what they need and maybe making the wrong choice, asking. You know, we don't ask people enough, I don't think, what they need. And then in that same way, figure out what you need. And you are surrounded by people who love you, who you love, who will be there for you. Yeah. Some people, I'm not a group therapy person, so I wouldn't do a group, but that works for some people. So it's just about finding your own path in that. And you're definitely not, I shouldn't say definitely, you're probably not done in a month. So allow that gentleness, you know, allow that journey to just unfold. It's been over a year for me and I still have, you know, moments of the most ridiculous thing that sparks me into, wow, I really miss my dad. So, you know, that's probably a lifetime for us. And that's okay, because if we didn't love them, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's been for me, it's been 2 years. I think I'm still grieving. So prepare for that long process. Okay. We have a few minutes before, you know, we end our show, but okay. Just one last thing. If there's anything that you would want to tell your dad, your father right now, Dr. Kathy and Chloe, what is it?
I'm really lucky. I got to see him about a week and a half before he passed. And so though his death was unexpected, it wasn't, I mean, we knew it was coming. We didn't know it was coming that day. So no, I mean, I think he knew everything he needed to know. I had an incredibly open relationship with him as far as expressing feeling and how great I thought he was. So for anybody that's listening, tell people what you think of them very honestly and have that conversation before they're not here anymore, to me, is if you can, if it's a possible thing.
That's amazing. How about you, Chloe?
I would tell my dad that I love him and I forgive him and everything.
That's good.
I would tell him that, you know, obviously he's in a better place. He doesn't have any worries. For anybody else out there that feels guilty or maybe angry at their father or a lost loved one, I would just say to talk to them, just like Dr. Kathy mentioned about writing a letter or having a picture of them and then just talking to them. I'm definitely going to try that out. I think that's going to help me a lot. I would suggest trying some of that to help with grief and just to get it out, not keep it bottled in. I think for me, I've kept it bottled in. I haven't been able to let it out properly. So I would say to try and avoid that if you possibly can, and to just let it out, talk to someone, and it's okay to grieve.
That's amazing. Okay, just quick. Okay, for guilty feelings, I think instead of thinking over and over again, like what Chloe said, thinking of over and over again, find positive thoughts to balance your guilt thoughts. So, you know, like you call it like thought stopping. So stop that and then change the channel and switch the channel and do something else. You know, number two is preserve memories of your loved ones by creating a memory album. I did a memory album. I showed it to my, you know, when we had reunion with my siblings. So that's very important. That's very good. And I think, Chloe, for you talking to your mom and talking to your brother, just say, hey, you know what? I need to talk to you. I need you right now. Listen to me. I want to cry. I think that's a very good, you know, because you are all, you know, you're all grieving as well. And of course, yeah, so don't go through it alone. And then prepare for a long process. You should, while preparing for that long process, remember, this is like what Dr. Kathy said, it's going to be a long time. I think it's forever, especially if you had a good relationship with your father. So, but you know, you're going to cry a little, smile a little, but I think the best thing is you should try to have at least one thing each day to look forward to. Just something, like a little thing that you look forward to so that, hey, you know, Dad, this is for you. Dad, I wish you're here. You know, something that you can, you know, that you can smile with him. And every time say his name, because, you know, it says that his spirit lives on if you say his name. Okay, thank you so much. Dr. Kathy, where can our viewers find you?
Yeah, thanks. So kathygruver.com is my site for speaking. My books are there. And then I have also kathygruver.coach if you want to do some one-on-one or group stuff about grief or relationships, communication, workplace, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And do you have any motivational talk, you know, the next?
Well, the pandemic kind of put an end to those right now. I unfortunately had 7 or 8 that were booked that just, you know, kind of, so yeah. 2021, hey, how about that?
I know, 2021. How about Chloe? Chloe?
So you can find me at chloeponta.com or on Instagram at chloeponta. And you can always also find me on Facebook at Chloe Ponta. So that's where I can be found at.
Yeah, Chloe, can you tell our listeners and our viewers right now what you do? Because I know you're holistic, right?
I am a holistic therapist and a transformational mindset coach. And I help my clients get unstuck from where they currently are in life to where they want to be. So I help on a holistic level, mind, body, and spirit.
Amazing. Chloe, you can call me. We can both cry together if you need to cry. All right. Thank you so much for watching our show for today. And to all of you who are listening, thank you so much. And I hope you enjoyed our Father's Day episode. And happy advanced Father's Day to you all. And of course, it's National Best Friends Day as well. So happy National Best Friend Day. Thank you so much. Oh, and you guys can find me. And if you miss this, you can always listen to all the podcast station, The Polished Woman. And then you can find me on all The Polished Woman social media. Okay, thank you so much, and give love to the next person that you see after watching our video. Bye. Thank you. Thank you, Ronan.
The Polished Woman.